Well, I wonder, have you ever said good morning to someone and they said, what's good about it? Or have you ever said happy Thanksgiving to someone only to have them retort with, what's there to be thankful for? As we open the Bible today to Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, we discover something very interesting. We discover that Christian living the way that God intended should have people overflowing with thanksgiving. Let's read the text, and then we want to think about some of the implications the implications for you and I for today that we see in this particular passage of Scripture. So we're in Colossians chapter 2. It's actually the same passage here that Mark Edwards was using in his children's message. Verse 1, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I say this, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and build up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, the Apostle Paul wanted folks to lay hold of some things here. He wanted them to lay hold of what was theirs to experience as followers of Jesus. He wanted their hearts to be encouraged. He wanted them to have a complete, a total understanding of not only of God the Father, but of Jesus the Son. He wanted them to move ahead with Christ. He wanted them to experience everything that he had planned for them. Therefore, he was concerned that their faith not be sabotaged, but that they continue to grow in faith and everything that that involves and everything that that encompasses. Now, having said that, let's look more specifically at verses 6 and 7. And I want to read those two verses again, but this time from the New Living Translation. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw nourishment from him, so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. I think you can tell where the sermon title came from this morning. That your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. Now, the way I want to approach this in having a closer look now at this passage of Scripture, and especially verses 6 and 7, I'm going to ask three questions followed by three exhortations. The first one will be in just a moment here. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord? Then continue to live in obedience to him. Then the second one will be, are your roots growing down into Christ? Then continue to draw that nourishment from him. And the third one will be, are you growing in the faith? Then let your lives overflow with thanksgiving. So let's begin with the first one. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord? Then continue to live in obedience to him. Now, the text that we're looking at this morning was written to Christians. According to chapter 1, verse 2, the epistle was addressed to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Perhaps we should back up just a bit here and think of really who is a Christian anyway? Is it that an individual has gone through catechism? They've completed a series of lessons and of studies? Is it that they attend a Christian church? I mean, it says so right out by the road. Is it that they adhere to certain values? Is it that they give a portion of their income in the offering, or perhaps to charity or whatever? Is it that they have been baptized? Well, actually, all of these things are good things, significant things, yet the essence of being a Christian is to recognize who Jesus is and then to live in response to him. It's to acknowledge, first of all, that we have all sinned, yes, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. It's what the scripture tells us. It's to acknowledge the fact that because of our sin, we're separated from our Creator, the holy, righteous God who cannot tolerate sin in his presence. It's to acknowledge that forgiveness and reconciliation with God is possible only through Jesus Christ. What does it mean for a person to be a Christian? Yes, it is to repent, to have a change of mind, a change of heart, change of attitude, turning to Jesus, trusting that his death on the cross became the atonement for our sins, and that his resurrection from the dead actually validated who he said he was, the way, the truth, and the life. A Christian is a person that has, yes, received Christ as Savior and Lord. It's a person that welcomed Jesus into their heart. It's a person that embraced Jesus and got on board with him. But there is more to it than just signing on. Being a Christian is moving on with the Lord. According to verse 6 of our text, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you've received Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must so walk in him. All of us undoubtedly know persons that made a profession of faith, who perhaps joined a church, but where are they at today? I mean, that's an important question, isn't it? Where are we at today in this matter of walking in him? In Ken Ham's book, Gospel Reset, we're told how that Answers in Genesis had contracted with a research group. America's Research Group was the name of it, to conduct focused research on American millennials. And so here's a quote from that book. Statistics are showing that 2/3 of young people are leaving the church in America by the time they reach college age, and very few are returning. Actually, 61% of those churched as a teen disengaged in their 20s. But this word for us this morning here in Colossians is not just for young people. It's not just for millennials. It's for people of all ages, exhorting them to walk in Christ. Now, the NLT put it, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Now, recently, 21-year-old, you can throw that picture on the screen if you've got it there, a 21-year-old by the name of Chris Nikic became the first person with Down syndrome to complete a full 140.6-mile Ironman triathlon in 16 hours, 46 minutes, 9 seconds. How is it that he completed a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile cycling leg, and a 26.22-mile run? How is it that he did it? Well, quite simply, it's that he continued to move ahead. As Christians, you and I are to continue moving ahead. In John 8, verse 31, the NLT, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You truly are my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings." Our calling is to keep on with Jesus, to keep on following him, to keep on obeying him. Our calling is to continue walking with the Lord. Okay, let's move on to the second question, the second exhortation. Are your roots growing down into Christ? Are they? Then continue to draw nourishment from him. Are your roots growing down into Christ? Then continue to draw that spiritual nourishment from him. We're looking now at the first part of verse 7, which is actually a continuation of verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught. Now, that Down syndrome, Iron Man, that I referred to a moment ago, made an interesting statement on social media following his achievement, following his accomplishment. He said, "Yes, I did the work, but I had angels surrounding me. God surrounded me with angels." Now, of course, we don't know exactly where he's at in all of this and what all he was meaning and saying, I guess. But, and Chris didn't minimize the fact that the race required significant work and self-discipline. But he was seemingly aware that he was not doing it by himself. He was seemingly aware of a divine presence and of divine resources. How aware are you and I of the divine resources that are available to followers of Jesus? Are we? And how consistently are we drawing from those resources? According to our text this morning, you and I need to be rooted in Christ. Jesus at one point used the illustration of a vine and the branches to point out the need to draw nourishment from him. And so we have this, which is recorded for us in John chapter 15, verses 4 to 8. John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me," he said, "you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." What brings glory to God? Well, one of the things is that you and I bear much fruit. Now, some of you undoubtedly have done some gallivanting around up in Ashtabula County, up here by the lake. I remember one summer that Diane and I were up there, and we got off on the beaten path, off on some country roads, and there's some neat stuff there, covered bridges for one, but what really intrigued me that day was driving down a road and there were extensive vineyards on both sides of the road. It was just a different feel, like we were driving through these vineyards and you could not only see, but you could smell. So there was a fruitfulness that existed there. How is it that those vineyards were so productive, and how is it that they were so fruitful? Well, it had to do with the branches being securely attached and there being a rootedness that was allowing nourishment to take place. There was a drawing on the sustenance and nourishment that was needed. Now, the problem is that some people make a profession of faith, but don't cultivate or nourish their relationship with Christ. Consequently, they wither up spiritually. And we are to be rooted in Christ, our text is saying, that we might continue to be built up in Him. To flourish spiritually, you and I need to abide in Christ. You and I also need to draw nourishment from God's Word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, not just pumpkin pie and turkey, but by what? Every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, you and I typically don't go without food for long stretches of time, do we? Oh, we may, at times, you know, we are intentional about prayer and fasting, so we skip a meal. Or sometimes, before a surgery is taking place, we can't take anything after 12 o'clock at night until after that procedure happens for us. And so we just are so glad it's scheduled at 9 a.m. and not at 1 p.m., right? Well, generally speaking, we enjoy food, and rightly so, because it's needful for our well-being, and the Lord has given us appetites and senses, and that's a good thing. But how do we thrive spiritually? Well, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 4, puts it like this. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man or the woman, the person, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. By the way, I'm just going to stop there, because that word meditate is an interesting one. It literally means ponders by talking to himself. So there you are. It's okay to talk to yourself sometimes. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Well, one of the most powerful images in my memory bank, and some of you have heard me share this before, was going by motor coach across the Sinai Desert from Israel to Egypt. Did you take that trip, Carla? By motor coach?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Sinai Desert. Yeah. Miles and miles and miles of just barrenness, nothing. And then the absolutely most striking thing, you come to an oasis, and there in the middle of that desert, there is a palm tree or palm trees. And the most amazing thing is you look up at those tall trees and you see this orange stuff hanging on them, a date palm trees in the middle of the desert. Producing. What's up with this? Do you see why it's such a powerful image in my mind? And especially with what we're talking about this morning. That's a picture of Christians who are being fruitful, even though around them there is a spiritual wasteland. There is a barrenness. What makes the difference? Why do some people flourish in the midst of a culture that is dried up and barren spiritually? It has to do with a person being rooted and being nourished by that which is life-giving and sustaining, by the Word of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and it builds up the people of God. Notice again the description of a person that is spiritually alive and flourishing according to verses 2 and 3. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree, a date palm tree in the middle of the Sinai desert. Well, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So, are you and I being built up in the faith, in that we continue to draw nourishment from the Lord and from his word? Do we regularly ponder and reflect on the scriptures? Are we rooted in Christ, being nurtured by him and his word? Is there a fruit that comes forth and develops? Remember, Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that we bear much fruit." Well, that leads us to the third thing to reflect on from our text. Are you growing in the faith? Then let your life overflow with thanksgiving. Are you growing in the faith? If so, then there's something that ought to be happening, and it has to do with thanksgiving. We want to focus now on the last part of verse 7, but so we have it in its context, let's reread both verses 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. As we already noted, the NLT puts it, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all that he has done. Now, this morning, we sang the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. Anybody have any idea what was going on in that songwriter's life back there in Germany, Justin? Actually, the fellow that wrote that song lived in a desolate German refugee city that was afflicted with famine at the time, and disease, and war. In fact, Martin Rinkert spent much of his time those days performing funerals during the height of this plague in the, and I don't have the exact dates, it was in the 1600s, I don't know, it was like 1630 or I'm not sure that everyone agrees exactly on the date of this even, but so it was during this time, this very difficult time, that Rinkert wrote the song that we sang as a prayer of thanksgiving for his children, reminding them to be thankful to God for all things at all times. Now thank we all our God, with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from his mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Well, our text, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. And when we focus on the Lord, we recognize how blessed we truly are. Now, the Bible says in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So you think about it. The Lord's mercies are new each morning, the scripture tells us. What a gift that is. We have been saved by grace. What a gift that is. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we've been given a living hope, and what a gift that is. We have an inheritance prepared for us in heaven if we're truly in Christ. What a gift that is. We've been given the Holy Spirit to empower us and to guide us. What an incredible gift He is. There is available for us a peace that passeth all understanding. What a gift. Tell you what, you go ahead and take that one on and see how many gifts the Lord has given you and how blessed you truly are. Followers of Jesus are incredibly blessed. As we're built up in the faith and are nurtured through the Word of God, there's something that ought to be happening, the Apostle Paul was saying. And that is, there ought to be bubbling forth. There ought to be bursting forth. There ought to be an overflowing of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in you. We thank you that in the midst of the state of affairs that we are in, whether it is a spiritually barren culture or whether it is a plague or whether it is personal concerns or issues, that yet we can be rooted in you. And we thank you, Lord, for how incredibly and wonderfully you have blessed us. And help us not just this day, but these days, to ponder again and again those blessings and those gifts from your hand. Lord, we just are so thankful that you haven't just stuck us out here on our own, but you have provided all that we need. And we thank you that you are at work. We thank you that our lives can bear fruit. We thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of your kingdom, of your family, of your church, of what you are doing in these days that we're living in. So, Lord, just continue to, may your Spirit flow in and through us. May you be glorified and praised. And even as we lift before you folks that are hurting, and Lord, we pray with those who are feeling the effects of COVID, and in some cases churches are going to be closing or have, and it's just difficult. But Lord, we pray, Father, that your hand would continue to be upon these people of yours, and that their spirits would not wither up, but would continue to draw richly from the streams of living water. So we look to you, yes, with thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.